more. Ooh. What's on your lap? It's salt, officer.
Did I miss something?
I have no idea what happened in the show.
It's not me, it's you, Acolyte. I already know
Oh,
by now.
yeah.
I learned my lesson.
That's the tagline of this episode. It made zero sense.
From movies to video games, welcome to Marie Plays It All. Today's episode is season finale, season slash series finale, episode 8 of the Acolyte review. We're gonna get right into it. We're here with George. We're here with Rob. George, tell us what happens in this episode. Tell us what happens in this finale.
It is the climax. We are now finding everything out. Sol and May end up back on the planet that I don't even remember the name of the planet anymore either. The planet where it all started. They end up back there. Khmer and Osha decide that they're also going to follow because Osha had a vision while wearing the helmet, and she knows exactly where they're at. So they go there too. A distress beacon is put out there, so now Venestra and the Jedi Knights can come over and find out what's going on, and it's the ultimate what the hell is happening here moment with everybody. And some people decide to go to the dark side, and some people don't.
Well, it's what the hell's happening moment with a whole bunch of other what the hell's happening moments thrown in, and we still, and then there's like, let's just add more stuff. Let's pepper in some more what the hell moments, and just for like 2 seconds, and leave you with that. And now you're like, okay.
Well, see that action you just did. You did that Salt Bae action. Yeah, in real life, this makes zero sense. If you watch the show The Bear, I was so glad they made fun of that, and this is gonna make sense because when salt falls down your arm, it goes everywhere. It has no rhyme or reason. There's no direction to it. You would never salt anything like this, and that's what this show is. This show is that. It's plot lines being dropped down your arm and falling wherever they may.
Or wherever they OSHA. I don't know. That was like a grandpa joke. Okay, we're gonna do what we normally do, get into some likes and dislikes. We're gonna go with the likes. Who liked anything about this episode?
I had a couple things.
Good, go.
There's a couple things. Transitions. We've talked about transitions in the past of how they overuse the old school, transitions between scenes. There was a transition between when there's the two fights, when we had Osha and May fighting and Sol and Khmer fighting. I actually really liked when Osha and May were fighting and they did that cross kick to each other and then it transitioned into the lightsabers fight. I was like, that's fun and creative. I really enjoyed that. Overall, the fight with Khmer and Sol wasn't bad. I could see everything. It was intelligible, and I enjoyed the back and forth between the two of them. It was very reasonable. And I gotta say, I really liked when Osha, spoilers, had the lightsaber and then it made it turn red into a red lightsaber.
I was actually thinking about bleeding kyber crystals 2 days ago. Because when, at least in the EU, I don't know if it's still true in this canon, a kyber crystal is forced to become the lightsaber of a Jedi and of a Sith. And so the kyber crystal bleeds and turns red.
But I agree with you, George. I think the choreography and like all of the lightsaber fights and the fight scenes in this whole show it's been pretty good. But there's that one cheesy moment where it's slow-mo, he's falling back.
Yeah. And Soul's just like,
Soul goes flying out and just like pulls out two guns. He's like, psst, psst,
yeah.
psst. Yeah, that's on the Matrix.
When that happened, I did have like Matrix music in my head. It was like boom, boom, ka, tika, tika, boom, ka,
Yeah. Three things I liked: the
Okay.
lightsaber fight, the kyber crystal, and I liked the asteroid field split in two with those like stalagmites tights kind of
Oh
connecting them.
yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
That's
that
kind of
wasn't
neat
bad.
looking.
Yeah.
That again, that's it. It's like fighting and special effects, those ones at least. I find the ships fairly boring in this series. I don't really have like
Yeah.
a memorable ship.
I think
You
because
know what
the
I mean?
ships are
Like,
like their costumes. Like there's not a lot of thought
yeah.
process put behind it. The beauty of like Star Wars ships is that they felt so makerly. Like, and they were, like when the props men were making those ships, like they were just finding doodads and putting it together, and there was this real constructor set kind of thing. Like when you're a kid, you feel like, oh, I can make that with the things I have, like in the trash or something,
Yeah.
And you don't get that feeling with new Star Wars. Everything just feels too smooth, or just it just feels out of place.
Yeah, limitations force creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're given a little, you're forced to make a lot. There's so many things that you can generate.
So yeah. Are we going into things we didn't like about it and things we're confused about and everything like that? Are we going into that just like right now? We're just going to go into it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any more good stuff that we have, right?
No, that's all I had.
Yeah.
Can I start with some script choices?
Yeah,
please. Please do.
Some lines. Well, at first, I didn't like when May said, "See you in hell, Jedi." But I'm like, but they're taking Han Solo's line from, "Well, then I'll see you in hell." From Empire Strikes Back.
Then I'll see you in hell.
And that's why they did it. But I still don't like that. I don't even like that Han Solo said it. But then I still didn't like it. That I was like, oh, I know why they're doing it, but I didn't like it. What is with the stomach flight sickness? They brought it up again. Why?
I know.
So apparently it's in the books.
Oh, the High Republic stuff? Yeah, because she's a character from those books.
Yeah, apparently there is a hyperspace nausea thing that they're nodding to the books to, but it's still dumb. Like, it's dumb in the story. It doesn't fit. You don't need it at all. It's wasted lines.
Yeah.
Well, if the general public doesn't know that, it just feels very like, why would you say that? It's like a waste of time. Like you said, it's a waste of time putting it in. Put in other stuff. Explain other things. Don't. Why? It's supposed to be comedy? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. If it felt like if it's going to be there, then it should serve a purpose. Yeah. Like it should be a barrier for her to get over, for her to like get from point A to point B. Then it makes sense for some reason. Because it's like, wow, if she got over her thing to get to this area, this is really important then. Because this is something that keeps her from going anywhere. You know? But she got over it like it was whatever. So it's just like, why are you telling us this then? I don't care.
Also, I hated 5-click perimeter.
Me too.
Yeah, I had that. It felt way too militant, honestly. It's a very military thing to say.
Yes, it did not feel Star Wars-y. One thing I want to ask before we get into other things is, why did Basil choose to crash the ship?
Oh, yes. Question number one right here. Why did he interfere? It makes zero sense. There's no reason. And then he when he's on the ground with them, he goes to help them find them. It's like, I don't know what you're doing, dude. What is your motivation? Because I just don't know. I don't know whose side this little dude is on. He doesn't want to kill her. He's trying to capture her. So it's like, I don't know why he stopped him.
I don't know. He was going to shoot her ship, right? I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean, was that going to kill her? So Basil stopped Sol from like targeting the ship, right?
Was he going to kill her? That's what it looks like. He could have been a tractor beam. Maybe he was getting close enough to tractor beam her. That technology exists in Star Wars.
Yeah, I thought it was a tractor beam or an ion cannon to disable the ship or something. Yeah.
Right?
And Basil, like, yeah, I was like, what is he doing? And did Sol not realize it was Basil or Basil? Does he not know?
I think he turned around. I think he turned around and saw him.
Does he? But then did he get in trouble later?
He should have. If I was Sol, it's like, all right, I got to lock you up now because you're obviously not on my side.
A batch.
Yeah, he's also a witness to a lot of this stuff. So you think that, you know, everyone's cleaned up at the end, Sol's dead, you know, memory wipe, everything's kind of nice and tidy. But what about Basil? Vernestra needs to whack him.
So we finally meet Raincourt, whatever his name is. We finally meet him, and he wants to monitor the Jedi, right? Basically, you know what? These Jedi do need to be monitored.
Yeah, I agree with the Republic or the Council, whoever the hell they are. I totally agree.
I have no idea what they're doing, and they're causing all sort of ruckuses. Like, I don't know. I was like, okay, well, I understand why he wants to do that in this show.
Yeah, I was glad they finally showed him, and definitely there should be some oversight into the Jedi. I didn't really like his sort of exposition as to why. Where you listed all the bad things and, you know, your heroes. And I just felt like it was Hedlund voicing her own feelings through the character too much. It was heavy-handed and didactic. It wasn't subtle enough. I think a politician would have been a bit more subtle, not totally showing his hand.
It also would have made more sense if the examples they had were like factual situations. Like if they knew about the situation that was happening right now, this is like, oh yeah, you guys know about this thing that happened. Definitely the Jedi need to be monitored. But it was more just like, it felt like more like, you know what? I just don't like you and I don't like your politics. So we need to like change some stuff around here. And it's like, that's not enough. No, like you need to have, let's like, say, it's like, you know, you guys are just wrangling up children and it doesn't seem right. You know, you're just taking kids from people's families. We can't get behind that, you know, because it's just because of your religious order.
You know, this would probably be actually more boring, but it would have been neat if he was an idealist and just said, no, I support the Jedi 100%, but a republic is committed to transparency. And out of the, you know, justice and process justice, you must be investigated. And I don't know why you're so resistant.
But instead, it's just like, we don't like how you, your feelings.
Yeah, like you're trying to control emotions and someone's going to explode Anakin one day. It was heavy-handed.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was the writer trying to voice their own opinions through the character rather than the character being political and cunning and a bit more graceful.
Yeah, and to some extent, like, it's just because he does call it like a religious sect of sorts, like it feels like government putting down religion.
Yeah.
Which in turn feels like a slant to George Lucas, who's always said that the Christian beliefs were kind of like a backbone to the idea of the Jedi and Star Wars. So it's just like I said, it's like, no, what he said, what he did was bad. That's bad stuff. We got to correct that now with Star Wars.
You know? I 100% think you're right there.
Yeah. And that's been like a thing with like a theme, I feel, with a lot of Disney produced projects, whether it's Marvel, Star Wars, or Disney stuff. It's kind of like trying to do that to a lot of things where it's like the idea of Christian Judaic beliefs are bad. And it's just like, and God we trust is on our money. All right. Like a lot of people go to church. Okay. Like it's okay to do that. And it's okay to not do that. Neither are wrong. Both are okay. You can have good people come out of both sides. So that kind of just like turns me off when that kind of stuff pops up in storylines. Mm-hmm. And it rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, you could really feel the writing and the writers in this show more than anything else. Like more than it being like this is going to be for like fans and this is going to be an awesome story and we're going to like really make this a rich storyline with characters that you care about. It's just more like we're writing for us and we're going to say what we want to do and we don't care. That's what the show really felt like.
Darth Pelagius creeping around in that cave is absolutely disgusting. It's like, don't put him in this show. It's like, oh yeah, we know where he got his ideas from. It came from, you know, Leslie's characters. Yay, girl. And I don't think he'd be this creepy old caveman. Like, what is he doing there? He's all like slinking about. That's him, right? It's got to be him.
Yes.
I paused it there and I was like, the design kind of looks similar to what designs I've seen for like the novels and the comic books and stuff. And I was like, God damn it. This is how they're doing it. This is not cool. Because I agree. He shouldn't be like, he's such a prominent figure in the Star Wars lore. Like he, yes, the Sith hide, you know, in secrecy, but they're not always like that. You know, there's not a creepiness to them. He felt too slithering, you know, in the background. And it's just like, this guy is confident in what he does. Like he would have been prominent there. Like if anything, I could see Khmer bringing her to him and be like, hey, look, I got another one. And he'd be like, yes, good. Like I see him having a regalness to him. You know, this is the guy who taught Palpatine, and Palpatine had a regalness to him. So I don't see him being like this if this is who he's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, 100%. This little cave troll is disgusting. The first time he is introduced on the screen is that way. Some peeping Tom.
Hello.
He's like, are they going to kiss? Like, some pervy old Pelagius. Like, come on.
Well, I thought about you, Rob, being like you and your soul, like, like laughing last episode, because this is what he felt like.
That's how people spy in this show.
Yeah.
they made him look so like fragile and weak and like this little creepy. Yeah. He didn't look like
one of the strongest Sith lords. Yeah, no, he did not look like one of them strongest Sith lords.
No.
It's like this guy is not training anybody. Like I can't imagine this is the guy who trained freaking Sidious. Impossible.
No.
I thought, like, you're right. I thought he was going to, we were going to see, like, that Khmer and him have had this interaction that he's maybe trained Khmer to be so strong. And he was, yeah, there's going to be some interaction between the two. They just put him in there for, like, 0.7 seconds for, like, what? In case there's a second season? They should have put him in, like, episode 3 or something. And then, like, little bits and then him heavy in this episode, I feel, almost. But just to throw a little bit of play, just for like a millisecond creeping. Oh man!
No, man, or just go for it. Just have Vernestra at the very end talk to him. Not going to see Yoda. Just like what? I have one of them.
I thought she was going to be talking to Plagueis at the end.
Yeah,
she is a foul, lying, cowardly, stupid, sour person. Like, just the expression on her face for most of the show is just an absolute angry, like, bulldog. Like, how'd you get that position? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she's just gross.
She doesn't seem like a good guy. She never has the impression that she's a good guy. So leaving us to believe, like, well, she has to be a bad guy, right? And especially when she solidifies that Khmer was her Padawan. You know, they don't, while they don't straight up say the words, that connection happened within the Force. And she's like, you're still alive. Like, you're here. That let us know. It's like, all right, you guys are connected. That was your Padawan. Those are your markings on his back. You know, it's like, you guys, like, you're a bad person. And then to have her talk to Yoda at the end, I was just like, how are you such a bad Jedi? Like, how are you connected to Yoda and you're a bad Jedi? Like, I didn't like that so much because that means Yoda's a bad Jedi.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, Yoda's not a bad Jedi.
Well, what is happening with all of our legacy characters that we cherish and love? They ruin them in all every freaking Star Wars movie, in every movie now. They're ruining everything. But now in Star Wars, they ruined Han Solo by making him this deadbeat dad and horrible ex-husband, I guess. Well, they didn't ruin Princess Leia, but she's a woman, so they wouldn't. And they ruined Luke, made him this weak, angry, bitter old guy. And then now they're gonna ruin Yoda. Who's left? They're gonna ruin Yoda. They're gonna ruin him. I'm like, this is what they're doing. This is why we have a problem. But she does say to May. She says to May, who did she say to May? She says to, it was my old pupil who became bad. She says that. So she admits that Khmer is her old pupil, I think she said.
Yeah. It's actually right. Yeah, she does say it.
Right when I saw Yoda, I was like, no. No, they're going to make Yoda bad. They're going to make Yoda bad. Please don't make a second season because they're going to make Yoda evil.
Yeah.
They are.
Admiral Akbar goes out like a fish. I mean, remember? Like, he just blows up. Like, all these great characters. What, C-3PO gets wiped?
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. Wiped. Bad creatives who are self-conscious and have an inferiority complex can't add or develop. They can only destroy what came before to make room for their garbage.
Well, they're trying to make themselves look like the good guys, like they're doing with the Sith in this friggin' show, is they're trying to make this Sith the good guys. Like, look how Khmer at the end looks like he's the good guy. He prevailed. Mm-hmm. They're holding their hands. They're going to be in love now, probably.
That moment upset me so much. Because of what happened before it. So Osha kills Sol. And you know what? Like, her turning to the dark side, becoming a Sith, reasonable. She got lied to by her mentor, someone she saw as a father figure, you know, and he's the one who killed her mother. Totally reasonable for her to feel that rage and in the heat of passion, kill him. I give that. But then to have, like, an hour later, we'll say, you go leave with the guy who also you witnessed kill all of your friends that you grew up with. Like, you grew up with Yord. You met Jekki and you were getting a budding relationship with her. You witnessed him murder them and other Jedi. It's okay that he did stuff like that, but Sol, like, he's the one who has, like, I'm sorry. No, you don't do that kind of thing. You don't just make that turn and just go with that guy and let him hold your hand. I'm sorry. He has to die too. If this is the path that you're on, it didn't make any sense to me. But they had to push that Raylo relationship, but on them now, which is ridiculous. It's so freaking stupid. that bothered me so much when that happened.
Not to mention, dude exposed himself to her without her consent. He like stood there butt naked. I guess she got that peak older, I guess. When she peeked down, she was like, okay, yeah, I'll go with you.
She saw him go in to take a bath and she followed him. So that's a lot of that's on her. A lot of,
well,
like, avert your eyes, lady. Like, no, she decided to keep on watching. Best believe if anyone goes naked in front of me, I'm like, yo, what's up, man?
Well, that's the thing. They should have showed some struggle that she wanted to maintain some modesty. Well, at the same time, you do need to kind of keep your eye on him because he did murder all your friends. And that could have been the struggle. Like, I can't look at him, but I kind of got to look at him. And that's how so manipulative he is. He, in effect, is forcing her to look at him naked.
He did.
Because you got to keep your eyes on the target. But she didn't have to look down.
No.
No, they should have wrote her being like, okay, she should have wrote her being this strong woman is what they're trying to do all the time, right? If she was a strong woman that they wanted her to be, she would have been like, excuse me, turn around. Like, she, you know, something like that. But there was nothing. Oh. It was just so, ugh.
So, yeah, he's like, it's kind of like, I'm vulnerable now with all the power.
I just felt like an abusive relationship was happening.
Yeah, there. 100%.
That's what this was. And it's just like, this is all I could think when watching the ending for this episode, because, you know, we're on online forums, we're on the social media, and there's always this talk when, like, if you say something negative about the show, then it's just like, oh, why are you complaining about a kid's show? It's a kid's show. You're an adult. So don't worry about it. I'm sorry, but if my kids were alive to watch this show, I wouldn't want them to watch this. Because what example does this give them? The original Star Wars, it gives them a hero to look up to and to teaches them to turn your back to the dark side and give hope to others so that they can get out of the darkness. Mm-hmm. I don't get that from this show. I get, hey, the dark side's good, and no matter what bad they do, you can just like go with them anyway. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, as long as you've got ripped arms.
Yeah, it's like, to me, there's no role models in this on either side.
Basically, Rain Court, in effect, implies there's no such thing as a role model. There's no heroes in this world. Everything could be deconstructed. And at the end of the day, we find out nothing is as it seems. And you might as well just be badass, I guess. I mean, that's the thing about Kamir. Why is he good? He's authentic to himself. Authenticity for these writers is a prevailing value, to be authentic. Cast off all traditions, all fetters, all presuppositions, and be authentic to your identity. What that identity is, it doesn't matter, as long as you're authentic. And Kamir is, and that is why he's actually the best character, like the most engaging. You know, yes, he doesn't lie. I mean, best, not as good, but like good person, but, you know, in a way you respect, I think you can kind of respect him, so to speak, more than other characters. Sol's a liar. Vernestra's a liar. Matrix Girl's a liar. They're liars.
All the
They're
Jedi
cowards.
Are liars.
All the good guys. All the good guys are liars.
They bumble around, but Kamir, he is the authentic one.
Yeah, if you show any promise,
he's a manipulator.
Kill you. That's what I've noticed. If you show any promise of being good, you get killed.
Yeah.
Hence Yord and Jackie.
Yeah. You know what? Why would you want to watch season two for those two characters to develop?
Yeah.
There's nothing left for season two. I mean, you know what I mean? Like Osha and May, who cares? I don't want to see a show about May looking for Osha.
No.
I don't want to see May or Osha ever again.
Yeah. No.
So I watched this scene multiple times, okay? Maybe you guys can answer this for me. What reason was there to leave May behind? Why did not all three of them escape together? Because I listened to the dialogue again, and there is nothing that happened that one of them would have said, like, oh, we have to leave you behind. They just decided to do it and erase her memory. Like, it made zero sense. Like, the decisions made in each situation where there's a fork on the road made zero sense. I couldn't fathom why they did that.
Also, there's no like real struggle in any of these forks in the road decisions. Maybe it's just like, yeah, okay, I'll erase my mind. And then they erased her mind. just to get all of her memory back when a Green Lady tells her everything. Like, why'd they erase her mind if Green Lady just tells her everything that they just erased?
Yeah, because it's not like she tells her this information and she's just like, no, like she still has some essence of those memories, it felt like. So
Yeah.
it's like if she gets told enough of it, it'll just come back. And it's just like, well, that's not really a mind erase then. It's not what you didn't really go do a good job. You
Well, it wasn't. And then he was like, you have this feeling that, oh my God, she's gonna forget Osha. She's gonna forget her, the other half of herself. And then whatever her name is, motion sickness lady, it's just like, yeah, you have a sister. You have a
Yeah.
sister. You didn't know that? Like,
Yeah.
what was the point of erasing her memory if she's just gonna get her memory
Oh,
back?
it's to be
Yeah.
sadsies for a little moment. But
It would
you're
have made
right.
way more sense if they just confused her with being OSHA since she had OSHA's clothes on. That would have made way more sense as opposed to them just being convinced that she's
That'd have been
May.
cool.
Yeah.
That none of that made sense. And also it was really weird because at the end when like May and Osha were together, I'm like, damn, are they gonna kiss? I was like,
I
this
felt that
feels
too.
weird. They need to stop telling actors who aren't gonna kiss to look at the other actor's mouth and be so close. Because when you're looking at someone and you look down numerous times at the mouth, it looks like you're gonna make out. I wouldn't
Yeah.
be staring at my sister's freaking lips for
The
that long, that
actors
close.
in this don't understand the difference between like erotic love and family
No.
love. They're two different
No.
things.
Well, look, this show, as we spoke about earlier, is a kind of perverse all around, right? We have the whole
Yeah.
Khmer thing that we talked about. Soul has a disordered relationship with the child.
Who he was going to say, I love you to.
Because I love. I
Yeah.
know.
It's just.
How?
Oh, and then Vernestra has a weird relationship with her Padawan. That's clearly a kind of a Dom thing. Coral and Anasea have a, like, these relationships, there's no love in this world. It's tempestuous. It's a Dom sub situation. It's obsession. It's
It's very lustful.
lustful, manipulative. That force choke was too far, showing it like that. When she force choked,
Like it took it too far, you mean?
so yeah, they took it too far. I thought it was too graphic. The kind of weird submission stuff happening in this show is uncomfortable. The Torben scene, you have a young person with older people, inexperienced, wants to go home, and someone invades his mind heavily with heavy sexual innuendo, forcing him on his knees as he's begging to escape. It's as if, I don't know, he's in a room with someone and everyone's downstairs in the hotel lobby and no one can see. And he's crying, I want to go home. I'll let you go home if you do this for me.
Yeah.
That just hit me hard, man. That's like
Look, and then the force choke,
I...
the way that force choke was happening was
Yeah.
just a bit too indulgent. And so
Yeah.
I find when I say there's this sort of submission domination dialectic that runs throughout this, I think it's there. And then Vernestra with I hate making I don't want to focus on people's appearances, but her Padawan, like he's just doesn't not
He's
he's
very
not
meek.
yeah, he's this meek, he's diminutive. She chastises him when he met the rain cord. Remember, he's like, oh, you met him in the chamber conference room or something? And he's like, oh,
Yeah.
he looks down. There's something weird there.
Yeah, like it's not a very uplifting relationship. Like, and we only have so many Padawan Jedi Master things to go off of, and the best one is always going to be Obi-Wan and Anakin. And Obi-Wan is never necessarily talking down to Anakin. Their conversations are always educational and uplifting. Everything's a lesson, but it's a positive lesson. And like sure, like
Yeah.
sometimes Obi-Wan could be a little snarky, but it's a playful snark, because after all, like he still sees Anakin as a brother, son figure. So, but like it's never talking down. Every time she talks to her Padawan, it's talking down. Every time we had the Matrix talking to the whoever she was with, she was talking down to them. It's like it's never uplifting.
No.
It was all the Jedi sucked. All the Jedi were bad and evil. They were all terrible. I just really want to talk about the soul saying I love you to Osha again. How? First of all, how? Second of all, why? You knew her as a little child for what? How long? You met her and you immediately wanted her as yours. Immediately. She's going to be mine. It's like Lolita. It's like a friggin' story like that. And then to say I love you, do Jedi talk like that?
No.
Obi-Wan said that to Anakin at the very end of Revenge of the Sith. I loved you. I love you like a... Remember?
Wait, he says, I loved you. Like you were like a brother to me.
Like a brother. Yeah.
That's okay.
No, that's okay.
You know, because it's family. Like, he didn't get to finish I love you in this episode. So maybe he could have said it, I love you like a daughter.
Like
maybe.
A daughter.
You know, I'll put that out there for argument's sake. But it still was like, you didn't have enough time to be with her.
No.
To develop that deep of an emotion for this character. As opposed to, we go back to Obi-Wan and Anakin, he raised this guy. Like, he was with mm-hmm. him during his formative years. He saw him go from a boy to a man. It's mm-hmm. like, it's very reasonable for them to have a very tight relationship.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't. She was only with him for a little bit, and then she left. So it's like, what is this? What is this deep, passionate connection you have for this little girl?
Well, that's why I think it would have been important for the writers to add the like a daughter part. I don't care if you want to kill him before I love. It's kind of important that you, this old man who met this little girl and wanted her as his own, and now she's still way younger than him, and he's this old guy, and he's like trying to fight for her. He's going to tell her he loves her. It's pretty important to keep in the script, probably, like a daughter.
How long did Soul train her for?
They don't make it seem like it was long.
I thought he did a little
bit. No, he did a little bit because she went through some training with Yord. That's how they knew each other.
I think they should have showed a couple scenes.
Yeah.
Flashbacks.
Yes. Those were the
little girl. And all they had to do was have one little tiny line where we realized that Soul, when he was younger, lost a daughter. And she's kind of like the surrogate daughter. And that's kind of why he hasn't worked through his own issues yet.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? To tack onto this, this could help elevate and cement some lore that we are used to. So like when we get to the prequel Star Wars and how like Jedi are supposed to be celibate and they don't get to have a mate and all that kind of stuff, what if this is the storylines that made it be like that? You know, let's say what you said, he had a lover, he almost had a daughter or whatever, and he lost that. Maybe having families is what puts a hindrance on how they can handle their feelings and all that kind of stuff. And let's say with Venestra, maybe her and her Padawan had a relationship. And that's not something that's supposed to happen. You know, there's so many levels that you can add on to this where it's just like, all right, and this is why things had to change by the time we get to the point of Obi-Wan and Anakin.
The scar that Venestra put on his back, I mean, it was obviously her.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just so brutal.
I thought we were going to get a lightsaber whip and fight with him. I thought we were going to get like a meeting of those two. And I was like, I even said out loud, I'm like, we're going to get a lightsaber whip fight. We never did.
The first time a lightsaber whip is whipped out is to kill a bug.
Yeah.
Just sucks. I guess my final thought is that, you know, Soul kept trying to say you aren't twins. You're the same person from the Vergents. But twice, I think people don't listen to him. He's trying to explain that. And he gets, you know, knocked out or they don't listen to him at one point. If he's right and they're the same person, why did they separate at the tree? One gets mind wiped. One goes with, you know, the stranger at this parent seat of power. This tree.
That was my point. It's like it doesn't make any sense. They've been reunited. The whole point of this season is the reuniting of these twins. And then we just separate them again. Like,
but
why did you waste our time for 8 episodes to just do that to them?
They could have season 2 where they look for each other again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I don't want that same plot device again.
No.
That's not how you create a good series. You don't just recycle the plot like every season. You know what would have been a much more interesting thing to separate them? Highlander it. OSHA just has to kill May. OSHA has to kill May for them to become fully one again. And then maybe we find out that was the whole purpose of the sacrifice or whatever crap that the mothers were talking about. That's what should have happened. OSHA kills May, and then she becomes fully encompassed with the full force power that she was supposed to have, and then she follows Kamir.
Yes.
You know, and then especially her following Kamir would feel like it makes even more sense because now she has that part of her that was in May that wanted to follow him.
Oh, check this out. So she ends up, one of them ends up killing the other and absorbing them. And Kamir says, you see, that's why I trained you to kill without a weapon. Because you had to kill the other using the force alone to absorb the other. The whole purpose of training to kill without a weapon was so that one of the twins can kill the others to absorb them.
And to fully be attuned with the force.
Yeah, fully attuned, something like that.
But we just thought of this right now.
Like metaphysically, there's no reason why they would separate at that tree, but even like metaphysically, if they are one being at this moment of reunification where they come to sort of awareness of what they want in life, they should have fused or something should have happened there. It just doesn't make
especially
sense.
The whole show through every episode is telling us since episode three, the power of many, right? The power of two. If these two are so powerful, I think they could have taken out those Jedi. I think together they would have had no problem.
Yeah, just kill them all. Yeah. I think it's the power of Manny. That's what I've been saying the whole time.
Yeah.
The actor's name.
The power of Manny Jacinto, yeah.
It's Manny. That's who it's all about.
But what you said, if she had to kill her, because May was so like, yeah, okay. I'll erase my memory. What do I have to do? All right. I'm sure that she would have, it was way too easy. I'm sure she would have been the same way if she had to die in order for them to become one.
Go
and
ahead,
like she would
it.
Still
Kill
be
me.
Living. Well, she still would be living inside her. Like I feel like her consciousness would still be there. Yeah. You could have May like force talking to OSHA sometimes when it's just like her conscience, but it kind of is like May, you know, like how you always hear like Luke, you're the boss, you know, you always hear that, trust your feelings. It could have been like May talking to OSHA, even though it's just really OSHA and May. But still, you know what I mean? They could have had something else. But then I guess they needed her captured, not captured, by the Jedi.
Story-wise, no. I know why they did it. Like, it logically, it makes zero sense. But for the writers, they need a scapegoat. That we need something to place here so that the Jedi don't go after OSHA and Kamir.
Right.
We need a reason for that. And since we can't think of a good reason, then we'll just give them May. We'll give them a memory wipe May, and then now that they won't focus on them anymore, because now we can just blame everything on her. And we can blame everything on Soul.
Yeah.
So that's why the writers did it. But logically, it makes zero sense that they should have just stayed together.
Where are the dead bodies of the witches?
Right? There was no skeletal like leftovers anywhere.
They're for sure dead.
I guess at this point, I guess like the most reasonable thing would have been to bring back at least the Mother Coral or somebody. Like there's so many things that could have and should have happened here. But since they didn't, we just have to assume now, I guess they actually died. I guess when the Matrix fought back with her mind powers that just wiped everyone out. They was just like, oh, I'm too tired now, I can't. And then that's it.
Yeah.
They're kissing by the tree. Pelagius is looking.
Hello.
That was so I was like, oh shoot, he's gonna be in this episode. We're gonna see what he's been doing, why he's hiding in this cave. We're gonna see him and Kamir interact. We're gonna finally see why Kamir's so strong. I was like, yeah, I even paused it. I'm like, there's 10 minutes left. They could throw it in there, and it was just freaking Green Lady talking to like whatever the Jedi Council, and I'm just like, ah. Then they throw Yoda in the mix. I'm like, ah! Why? We still need this other bit explained. Don't just throw Yoda in there at the end.
Yeah, that Yoda thing, when I saw that Yoda's head pop up, I just felt that I felt the rage of all the nerds online. Like when we saw Kamandi, what's his name? Guy with big head.
Yeah, I just call him Mundy.
Oh, Mundy. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Hi, Mundy.
Yeah, like when people saw him and the fact that the Sith have been now referenced, and it's just like, this doesn't make sense. Seeing Yoda there now, it's like, hold on, Yoda was a part of the council. He's the head guy. If she doesn't tell him that my pupil is a Sith Lord now, there's some big plot holes now between this and the prequels. Like, we got some big, big issues now if Yoda knows some stuff is going down.
Like, I want a season two.
It's a big problem.
Yeah, I want a
season two. Do not say that, Rob. Do not say
that. No. I want to see it burn. I want it to die.
We did see it burn.
It just happened.
No, let's make it. Let's just tear it down midichlorian by midichlorian until there's nothing.
Until there's no M count left.
Yeah, until there's no M count zero.
Like, there's no M count within 5 clicks of this screen.
Just, I'm going to roll around in the muck, hate myself, wear a mask that I can't see through.
Does anybody else have any notes?
I had nitpicks. Yeah, I just little nitpicks. It was like in the beginning of the episode, when May is in the escape ship pod or whatever, and she has Pip, and she goes to Pip, she's like, brace yourself, Pip. That felt like an OSHA line as opposed to a May line, you know. And now, granted, maybe they're trying to like really show how much they are the same person, but at the same time, the show has been so adamant of showing us how they're not the same person, like they are different people. And so it's just like, why does she care about Pip? Like, she just got this thing. She has no relationship with this thing, you know? So to her, like, brace yourself. It's like, that, I don't think you need to have that there. That just felt weird. I think you guys forgot who you're writing for in this one moment.
Hedlund forgot which character it was.
I've seen her in interviews where she has trouble describing the show.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So that's a big sign right there. When your showrunner does not know how to talk about their show. Mm-hmm. Just so people know, it's like when you're making a show, especially as a showrunner, you got to create elevator pitches for things. When you create an elevator pitch, you know your show so inside and out, you're able to describe it in like 2 sentences, you know, and usually you're able to compare it to other things. The fact that she struggles to talk about these characters and who they are, that's not a good look.
Yep.
So I have one more nitpick.
Yes.
And this is, again, this is super nitpicky. I'm fully aware of that. So people watch this and are like, wow, like you're just hating right now. I'm admitting this is childish, all right? But I feel like they don't know the purpose of a hoodie or like a cloak in this show. And I really felt it in this episode with OSHA and Venestra. So like OSHA gets her new garbs, her new Sith garbs, before they head off to Barbaduk or wherever they're going, all right? And when they get there, she has her hoodie on and she's all like cool. And yes, I get it. The hoodie's cool looking and it's badass. Sure, I totally understand that. But it serves no purpose right now. Kamir's not wearing his helmet. He's not rocking a hoodie right now. Why is your hoodie on? Why? Just so you could be cool in this moment? It has to have a purpose. Whenever a Jedi is wearing their cloak up, it's because they're trying to be like an assassin almost. They're trying to like sneak around and not be noticed. It's just you and this guy in the woods. No one knows you're there. Why do you have this thing on? Like, this is so stupid. And then Venestra does it too when she's with all of her Jedi Knights. They don't have their hoodies up. Why is your hoodie up? Like, why are you doing this? Who are you being sneaky about? There's no one to sneak around about. Don't do this. It made zero sense. So like everything. That's the tagline of this episode. It made zero sense. I just... Yeah, it got at me.
It's not even weather related. It's not like it's raining or windy or snowing or sandy. Nothing going on.
I could bet someone in the comments or someone out there be like, oh, well, it's because, you know, she's bald, so she's cold.
Well, what's OSHA's excuse?
Her mind was bald, so it's cold. I don't know. There's definitely some smooth brain activity happening in this show, right?
I will say that OSHA and the stranger staring out at the sun was a bit like, what are you doing? Why are you holding hands looking out at the sun?
What's out
for
there?
For a good shot. Like just staring out across the water. Like, what were they doing other than trying to look like Luke Skywalker? Or reminded me of the end of Empire Strikes Back where they're looking out the galaxy.
I'm so hopeful and bright. And I'm like, you guys are bad. Like, yeah. these are bad guys.
Murderers.
Like, and these are the, we're supposed to feel like, and then just him grabbing her hand really pissed me off. And then her, like, just, like, look at them holding hands. Like, I'm like,
it's Kylo Ren kissing Rey all over again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's that all over again. This is forced romance. I don't understand what's the point of with this new Star Wars and forcing romance where it doesn't make sense.
It's Disney. They just want to make you have a Disney princess vibe and like the love vibe. It's like, but it's like, no.
But the prince is a good guy. That's the thing. In Disney stories, like real Disney stories, the prince is a good guy who deserves to kiss the princess because he's there to help out. Even if you have a strong, powerful princess, like saying that like the movie Tangled, where she's very straight, powerful, and you know, take care of herself, she still needs the little scruffy guy because they help each other out, they work off each other, you know. But he's a good guy at heart.
You know what this is? They're trying to be like Beauty and the Beast, because Beauty and the Beast, dude kidnaps her,
yeah,
she gets Stockholm syndrome, he's verbally abusive and emotionally abusive to her, and she like falls for him anyway. She's with him for a while.
She fixes him though.
That's
the dream. The dream is that you can fix the man, and she fixes him.
That's what it is. That's what Disney's doing. It's in their blood.
I saw him kill, but I think I can fix it. I can make it better.
Yeah. I can fix them though. Just look in this mirror, see what I see.
And then in the background, Pelagius is looking at Beauty and the Beast.
Hello.
Thank you guys for watching this episode of Marie Plays It All, the recap of the Acolyte season, possibly series finale. You can find more of our content on our YouTube channel, Not a Strong Start. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, Not a Strong Start. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share and comment. Please comment, even if they're negative comments, because we like to respond to them. Let's go. Let's get into it.
Yeah, we do.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Marie Plays It All.
And you can also follow me at Nicolopolis.
Never stop playing and never stop lurking from caves.